Welcome to another edition of Uncensored with Penny Faree, brought to you proudly by IPSS Electronic Security.
Good morning, everyone. This week on Uncensored, we're shifting gears to bring you community voices, where we hear the voices from the community, from activists, public representatives, civic groups, to residents and everyday people. We're sharing voices from across Kwadukuza. Now, your take matters on the challenges we face, the issues that affect our daily lives, and what you want to see changed. So today we're hearing directly from the community on three pressing matters: the election of the new mayor, the ongoing saga of broken traffic lights, and the challenges at the Belita Licensing Department. It's your community, your voices, your stories right here on Uncensored. Now, the first is we're starting with the big political story in Kwadukuza, the election of Studuzo Gumede as a new mayor. At the special council meeting last Friday, Gumede secured 38 of the 57 votes. The ANC flexed its majority. The DA's Privy McCann picked up 9 votes, while Independent Alliance's Nteko got 10. Smaller parties from the EFF to the IFP, MK, ATM and IC, they shaped the outcome with absence or abstaining. And it just proved how influential the votes that were cast were. But this is more about just numbers. Coalitions in South Africa are notoriously brittle. They stitch together through convenience and sometimes payoffs rather than a genuine attempt to create stability and serve the public interest. And the deeper problem is what sits underneath, which is corruption. When corruption runs deep, a change in leadership isn't just political, it's existential. For some, losing power can mean losing access to the patronage networks that keep the money pipeline flowing. For others, it could even mean facing jail time. And that changes the rules of the game. So instead of politics being about policy, service delivery, or competing visions, it becomes about survival. And the question then is, are these coalitions being built to actually govern, or are small parties with one or two seats simply being used to tune out opponents while someone clings to the purse strings? And the bigger question is, how tolerant are residents going to be to this cycle of misgovernance? Now, why we are watching this closely is because Gumede now holds the mayoral chain and the stakes are higher than political shuffle. It's about whether Kwadukuza can claw back stability, accountability and service delivery. And to understand the position's perspective, we asked Kwame Nteko. He secured 10 votes at the election. Here's his take on the whole coalition and how it collapsed.
Yeah, indeed, Penny, we thought not only our communities, even us deployees that are actually sitting in Kwadukuza Council, we were hoping that this will be a right time for us to put our differences aside, put our prides aside, and ensure that we elect the most fearless person, a person that will be able to address, a person who will be able to face the ANC in and outside Kwadukuza Council. Well, I'm not going to talk about DA this time around, but I will talk about my surprise regarding what the MKP did Friday last week. I mean, the very same party that always say ANC is bad, the very same party that always say they want to remove ANC from power. This is the very same party that voted ANC, the MKP. The same party that ensured that they reinstill ANC to obtain back its power. What was more shocking, Penny and the listeners at home, is the fact that when I questioned the deployee of the MKP, he said to me, he had to vote with the ANC because he was not elected. This is actually a wake-up call, because 2026 is just around the corner. What kind of people that will be electing into power? Are we going to continue trusting what these people are actually saying to our communities or during their campaigns? I mean, there is a lot that we need to look at regarding the picture that was painted last week on Thursday. But it was too much for the people of Kwadukuza Municipality. We disappointed the people of Kwadukuza Municipality collectively after the ANC sent a clear motion of no confidence against its own political own deployees in Gwadukuza municipality that it doesn't trust them. We need to move forward. We need to correct what is actually happening in Gwadukuza.
That was Kami Nhleko. He represents the Independent Alliance. He's chairman of the Independence Alliance. And MK Councillor Dushi Governor, he actually defended his stance, saying that the party had backed the best candidate at the end of the day. And he said they voted for the actual person, not the party. Now, next we have Tiko Aya. He's a Stanger-based community activist, a very strong voice demanding accountability on the ground from his community. And as a community activist voice, this is what he had to say.
This is a political question. The reality is, what do people want? People want radical change. They want radical transformation. They want what I call the reset, radical economic, social, environmental transformation. And we know that we come from a very divided, unequal society. And that in itself requires true leadership that can balance the scale. We have now too much of politicking in the sense that, you know, who are the people that are actually going to join hands and bring about that change, that tangible change? We see the DA playing big brother, kind of, you know, thinking that they're the ones that have the key to unlock the impasse that we find ourselves in. But the reality is that they have to consider the people that are less fortunate and don't have the means. And this is the far outcry that we do not seem to understand, that people in themselves are the voters and the constituents, and by and large, they're the ones that will dictate. Yes, the opposition could have united. They could have off-seated the ANC for a new mayor. However, will that have brought tangible change? So let's hope and pray that with the local government elections, the voice of the people shall be heard and some reality would set in and there will be genuine change. We need it. It's coming. We feel it. And the reality of the whole thing, again, is that the mainstream media have lost the plot. It's the voice of the people, and it's through unity. It is unity that forms communities. And people are now more intelligent. They're now more informed. And surely there will certainly be change. If not now with the new mayor, certainly with the upcoming elections.
And finally, we have Stephanie Ashworth. She's a former councillor. She lends her perspective as both insider that has been in council and a community voice still fighting for better governance.
It remains my opinion that politics today, especially in KDM, is more about keeping their job, buying and selling votes just to keep their privileges and their power intact. It has nothing to do with the residents of Gwadukuza municipality. And until such time, ward councillors start thinking about their communities instead of thinking about themselves, maybe we will finally have change in KDM.
So while Mayor Gumede may have the numbers, the real test is whether he can cut through the politics of survival, and we all are backing him to bring some much needed stability in Gwadukuza municipality. Now, next we turn to a story that affects everyone who drives or walks through Ballito and the surrounds all the way to Stanger, the ongoing saga of broken traffic lights. For months, key intersections across Gwadukuza from Ballito through to Stanger have been left without functioning traffic lights. It's not just an inconvenience, it's chaos, daily gridlock, near misses and endless frustration for commuters. Now, 2 weeks ago, when we highlighted this very issue, the municipality promised repairs would begin. Yet here we are, the lights are still dark. So starting today, we're launching the countdown, Kodakuza Traffic Lights Edition. We're tracking how long it's going to take from the municipality's promise to delivery. Now, the municipality, insists it's pretty complicated. Some of the lights fall under SANRAL's responsibility near the N2. Others, like the P445, which is extension of the Belita Drive, the M4 and the R102 in Umhlali, they're managed by the province. But here's the kicker. In the past, KDM stepped in, fixed them, and claimed the costs back later. And that stopped when new agreements were being negotiated. Meanwhile, 2 million rand has been ring-fenced in the municipal budget, especially for traffic light repairs, money that's supposed to bring relief to motorists, yet still nothing has changed. The question is, where's the accountability, why the delay, and how long must residents keep waiting in traffic, paying the price for bureaucratic back and forth? Now, at a recent ward committee meeting, which took place this week, DOCRA chairman Dion Viljoen said that the local schools that are being affected by this, together with businesses, actually approached DOCRA, and they have volunteered to repair these lights at their cost and to maintain the upkeep. So now DOCRA will be taking this proposal to KDM, and we are going to be following what the outcome from KDM's part will be, and see if they are going to buy into the a proposal of a community partnership. So the community takes over these traffic lights at these intersections that are causing havoc and owning the problem. And DA's councillor, Privy McCann, she has been weighing in on it, on the municipality's broken promises. But she obviously, as a DA, is keeping the pressure up, and they are updating, putting through updates as it continues. Now, the residents obviously don't want finger pointing, they want traffic lights at work. So we're going to be holding the clock against the municipality's words starting today. So the next segment is, if you've been recently at the Belita Municipal Licensing Department, you know the story, long queues, people waiting outside in the blazing sun, and only one cashier to serve many of these frustrated residents. Now, licensing renewals aren't optional, they're legal requirements, but what should be a basic service has turned into a test of endurance. Some residents told us that they've had to take time off work only to spend hours standing in line with little shade or seating. Others say they've returned multiple times just to get their papers sorted. On social media, the anger is spilling over. Posts describing the department as a disgrace, inhumane, and proof of service delivery failure have gone viral in local groups. From a town that brands itself as the gateway to the North Coast, the optics aren't just bad, they're embarrassing. So the question remains, why is the office so under-resourced? Why is there no clear plan to ease the backlog? And why must residents bear the brunt of municipal inefficiency? We asked local resident Michelle Jones to share her experience, and this is what she had to say to lend her voice to the conversation.
Renewing one's license in person at the Belita Vehicle License Office is not an easy task. Firstly, I arrived 2 weeks ago only to be told that the cashier was ill, so the office was not operational for 3 days. I then went back the following week and had to sit down in a queue for 2 hours and then had to depart. The third day, I went back and I sat around as well. And then I inquired from the office manager why one has to sit outside the building in the full sun when there is seating available inside the building. And I was informed that the license section could only utilize the area in front of the cashier's window. And the other side of the building, where there is a lot of space for the planning department, one was not allowed to use that seating because it was for the planning department. So I asked her how one can address this issue, and I was told I had to take photographs and address it with Stanger, as she had no right to change that ruling.
Yeah, and this is why exactly why community voices matter, because these aren't abstract issues. talked about whether citizens can trust the most basic functions of the municipality to work. So you've been listening to Uncensored Community Voices. Today we heard from a number of voices, from councillors to residents, activists. And it doesn't end here. These stories belong to you because you live them every day. So if you've got a story, an experience, a frustration that needs to be heard, we want your voice on this platform. So you're going to start sending me WhatsApp voice notes. The number is going to be 064-453-5773. Speak your truth. Take your feature and bring it to our next episode of Community Voices, because change starts with being heard. And on Uncensored, your voice does matter.
Uncensored with Penny Foree was proudly sponsored by IPSS Electronic Security. When it comes to security, don't leave it to chance. Trust the experts at IPSS Security, as the only CISA-approved security provider on the Dolphin Coast in all categories and the only local security company also accredited for CCTV off-site monitoring. With over 4 million rand invested in AI technology, they protect over 35 upmarket residential estates, spotting threats in real time. If action is needed, their rapid response and tactical teams, backed by the largest fleet in the region, is ready to act. For unmatched security, contact IPSS Security today at 0861 324 777. Your safety is their priority.